right, welcome back. Let's get right to it. Hour number three, our nightly report with Dr. Henry Nyman, PhD, virologist, scientist, about the coronavirus. A couple of things before we get to Henry. President Donald Trump apparently, reportedly, owns stock in a company called Sanofi. It's a French company that makes hydroxychloroquine, the anti-malaria drug he has repeatedly said is a coronavirus treatment. I mean, you know, we thought we had it bad with the Clintons. Look at the gross profiteering that's going on here. Look at Jerry Kushner and the princess, what they've been up to, signing contracts for her goods and lines of this and that all over the world with the Chinese, you name it. Corruption knows no bounds. It's not concentrated in one label, like Democrat or Republican. Corruption is corruption. Here's one for you. Texas police are looking for a woman who says she is coronavirus positive and is willing to spread it and to take as many with her as she can. She's 18 years old. She's put a couple of videos up showing herself in action, apparently, at Walmart. We saw that in China, the woman who walked down the street and spit in her hands and rubbed them on every door handle of every car she could find. We've seen others, and people said, oh, Americans could never do that. Well, we don't know if this woman's an American or not. She's a Hispanic and could well be an illegal. We don't know. But the point is, people will do that if they feel like they're going to die. They are so selfish, they'll try and take others with them. That's just what some people do. All right, here are a couple of quickies. This is important. I did mention them earlier. I'm going to mention them again. Doctors are now noting a mysterious heart damage among coronavirus patients, not just lung and pulmonary damage, heart damage. Well, we've talked about this. The virus can zero in on the heart, and I had a story yesterday about it can do enormous damage to the human heart, and people will just die. Some coronavirus patients are showing signs now of stroke, seizures, and mental confusion. Joe Biden. Interesting. Abnormal blood clotting, which we mentioned last night. Henry mentioned that. First here, I don't think anybody else was talking about it. Abnormal blood clotting is common now in more and more severe coronavirus cases. So what's that about? Doctors in Colorado are trying to come up with an anti-blood clot treatment for these coronavirus patients who are showing clotting. Trump today, in one of the most imbecilic things he has ever done, and this is saying something, approved Governor Cuomo's request to load the U.S. naval hospital ship USS Comfort with coronavirus cases. The ship was sent up there to take non-coronavirus hospital patients and give them the treatment they need. Well, one crew member, after 20 patients were accidentally, they say, sent to the USS Comfort, one crewman at least is already positive. So say goodbye to the USS Comfort. It'll be the Corona Princess 2.0 in no time. That ship will be crawling with virus. Just watch. The U.S. coronavirus death count may be an understatement. It is said now in New York State that 200 people a day are dying alone, often at home, not in hospital. And that's an underreporting figure right there. All right. Henry Nyman, welcome back. Thanks for being here as always.
Well, it's good to be back, Jeff. There's a lot of news, as you indicated. It looks like my declaration that the pandemic may be fading away might have been a little bit premature, based upon the figures that came out today. I had mentioned yesterday that it seemed that looking at the daily deaths, that the UK was down, and the UK started with their social separations, on the lake side. So I thought that their lower number yesterday might be an indication that the virus was going to follow a seasonal path and would decline over the summer, and that, you know, that decline may have started, so that the numbers may be dropping across the board, you know, all of the dropping may not be due to early implementation of the social separation.
Distancing, yeah.
But, yeah, but today the UK reported, where was it here? Let me see. It was 786 deaths, which is, I think, their high. So they had they had fallen down to around 400 yesterday, and today it was 786. So they snapped back, and you know, I guess it reflects the you know, the variation depending upon who's calling in the results. You know, it doesn't necessarily come in as evenly as it could, and similarly, the France reported 1,417 deaths today. So that's pretty close to their high also. So they had been down yesterday, and they had snapped back up. Italy was still below its peak at 604 today. And Spain was a little off its peak also, but 743. But those were still higher than they were yesterday. And there's some of the other countries in Europe. Belgium reported 403 deaths today, which is a pretty high number. Their total is 2,000, so that's, you know, 20% of their total. And the Netherlands had similar. They had 234 deaths today, which is a little bit lower percentage. They had 2,000, thus 10% of their total was added today. So it seems that things are going pretty strong. Even Germany, which had been noted for its lower level of deaths, reported 193 today, which is about 10% of its total. So it was pretty high across the board in Europe. And then, of course, the United States basically set an all-time high. All the states aren't even in yet in this table I've got. But the table is currently at 1,881. So the U.S. has a chance of having 2,000 deaths today, or pretty close to 2,000, which is, I believe, the highest they've had.
That would be. That would be.
In a given day. And
Henry, one note on this. I've also noticed several reports that the actual number of dead is running about a two-day lag. When they were assembling the figures, we're kind of 2 days behind in some states, at least. In other words, it's not an instantaneous thing. Go ahead.
Right, right. And as you mentioned with New York, I think they normally have, I think these are, I don't know if it's deaths or if it's sudden deaths, but I think they normally run around 20 or 30 a day, and they're running, as you said, 200 above that. So they're doing like 220, 230 a day. So it does look like you know, some people are just not going to the hospital and dying at home, and then are being reported as a death at home, and they, in most cases, probably do not get tested, and therefore they're not really being.
They're not doing postmortem testing. That's right. They're just declaring them dead.
I mean,
of coronavirus.
They might if they suspect it, but I don't think that they've been. I don't think they've been doing it on a regular basis. I mean, if you know, there are other people in the house that might be symptomatic, they might test them, and then they might take a sample from the at autopsy or something. But I don't think they necessarily routinely do that, especially if they die at home. If they die in the hospital, you know, then they're more likely to run a test if they die before they were able to test. But if they die at home, I think it's less likely. So the so all these numbers that are that come out for New York are probably 20% or 30% lower than they actually are. And along those lines, several states set records today. New York did. They had 731 deaths today. I'm pretty sure this is a record for New Jersey. They had 229 deaths today. If it's not a record, it's close to it. Michigan, I'm almost positive, they had 118 deaths today. I think that's the first time they topped 100. Massachusetts had 96 deaths today, which I'm sure that's a record because they've only got 356. So, you know, 25% of their total died today. Pennsylvania, I know 78 died today. That's a record. They only have 240. So that's, again, a high percentage. Connecticut had 71 deaths today, and they've only got 277. So, again, these states are tacking on about a quarter of their deaths. And as I mentioned, the deaths are kind of a trailing indicator that these deaths that are setting records today are generally patients that, you know, were admitted a couple or two, 3 weeks ago. And so that's when things were starting to take off. And if you recall, some of the states were basically doubling in 2 to 3 days. So they were at a very high rate then. And they have leveled off a little bit from that. So they're going higher, but the rate of increases has slowed. But the deaths, on the other hand, because of this lag, are now going up at very high rates. And so the U.S. is close to 2,000 deaths today. And
that day, 2,000 deaths a day, that's a pretty formidable number.
Yeah, that's like there. Three stars. Three SARS seasons. You know, SARS only had 770 or so for the total world. And and that was, you know, a whole from like November through May or June. So it was over an extended time period. That's the numbers they came up with. So so there still are issues. It seems that some of the issues with PPEs and beds and ventilators seem to be somewhat under control. I just heard that California struck a deal with, they didn't say who, they said somebody in Asia. And
better not
for
disclose
masks,
that.
Masks and gowns, it's very, very big numbers. I don't know. I should have written it down. I think it was on the order of like 100 million masks a month. And some big number for gowns also. And they
funniest thing, Henry, why isn't our president making a deal like that? Huh? Why isn't our president ordering the American industry to produce that kind of output? So all Americans who are supposed to cover their face. Yeah.
Right. He's playing doctor. He doesn't really have time to be shipping clerk. So it's not his job. It's not the repositories, reserves job.
Don't build a national reserve.
That's our reserves, not the state.
That's right.
with much of a definition on what that distinction was supposed to be. So the pandemic is moving right along. It probably is slowing a little bit, and it is still possible that it is going to be seasonal. And And there's a little bit of a, you know, flattening of the curve as far as new admissions are concerned. But the deaths are apparently going up pretty dramatically, and that's probably a reflection of how high the admissions were going a couple of weeks ago. And so there's still going to be issues, apparently, for New York. They've got the beds, but they're behind on getting personnel to man those beds. And and the reason they switched over the Comfort was they aren't really having that many patients that are non-COVID. They kind of got rid of elective surgery. People aren't driving as much, so there aren't as many auto accidents. People are staying in the house, so you know they don't have other kind of accidents. And so the admissions are down quite a bit for anything other than COVID. So they're, the COVID is what's causing the issue. So the Javits Center, they switched over to COVID also. That wasn't supposed to be. And the Comfort, they did the same thing. They cut the beds. Instead of 1,000, they'll just have 500 because they need to get equipment in for each bed and stuff. And you know, they've got a protocol for cleaning the ship. It's just an involved protocol, and it takes a long time. And that's why they prefer to do non-COVID cases. But they only had a handful of patients there that were non-COVID because there just weren't that many, and there was a lot of red tape to meet the requirements, and they had to be sure they weren't COVID positive, and it just wasn't going to meet the needs. It's going to be shared by both New York and New Jersey as far as patients and treatment.
Right.
And like I said, New Jersey, you know, set a record with a number of deaths, but these states are, you know, bring in a lot of patients still. New Jersey had 3,326 today. Michigan had 1,749. Louisiana had 1,400. Massachusetts had almost 1,400. Pennsylvania had 1,700. So these are the number of cases in just a single day. So they're still bringing in new cases on a pretty regular basis. One of the things that there's a lot of sequences that are coming out. So I spent a lot of the day going through sequences again. But what's happening is there's quite a few sequences coming in from New York now that NYU added another, I think, 31 sequences. So they're up to, I think, 75 sequences now.
I know. And, what does that mean, Henry? 75 sequences. Does that mean variants? Viral variants?
No, that's patients. They basically, each patient
I got it.
And they get the sequence from that. They've got 75 patients that they were able to get a full sequence or almost a full
sequence.
So they
can tell which strain that particular patient is suffering from.
Right.
Understood.
And they've been pretty complete. So they give, on the vast majority of them, they give the age and gender and the location. So NYU, most of the patients are from Manhattan. They have another good chunk from Nassau County. They spread things out a little bit more. So they had at least one patient from various boroughs, from Queens, the Bronx, Brooklyn, and Staten Island. Uh-huh. And they, about 70 out of the 75 were various versions of the Italian strain. And then just today, Mount Sinai released 88 sequences. And I'm still going through those. I've gone through about 35. And they're a little bit more heavily weighted with the boroughs. They still have more from Manhattan than anywhere else, but they've got quite a few from Queens and the Bronx and Brooklyn. And they're running the same rate or so. I think there's like three or four. Yeah, I think it was four that aren't the Italian strain. All the rest are. And actually, all the ones that weren't were from Queens, for whatever that's worth. But so all of the ones from Manhattan, the Bronx, and Brooklyn have been the Italian strain. And then Yale usually does patients out of Connecticut, but they did like four from New York, and all four of those were from the Italian strain. And then the same thing happened. CDC did one sequence they just released. I mean, they did quite a few, but there's only one from New York, and that was also the Italian strain. So New York is very heavily weighted, where it's in the ballpark of 90% of the sequences, pretty much regardless of which borough, are from the Italian strain. And same thing with the various countries that I mentioned in Europe that had these record numbers where they had 700 to 1,000 deaths in a given day. Or in the case of France, it was actually 1,400. Those are also heavily weighted with the Italian strain. So this Italian strain does seem to be responsible for, it certainly correlates with a higher death rate in a more aggressive version. And it turns out other countries were releasing sequences too. An interesting series came from Japan. They had various residents who had gone to Egypt and gone on the Nile cruises. And and it was interesting because they had them divided up which prefecture they were from. And the sequences, although they were all the Italian sequences, there's a little bit of variation in each of the sequences, and it correlated with which prefecture they were from. So, you know, they might have had seven from one prefecture, and then they all were Italian, but they all had like one or two changes in common that they all had that the others didn't have. And that indicated that these, they probably took separate tours, probably a little bit different timing on it, but it would indicate that you know, these tours were just loaded with this Italian strain. And this was back when, you know, Egypt wasn't really reporting any cases.
Nothing.
So people would go there thinking they were avoiding the virus, and they really weren't. And they haven't released the sequences yet, but the same thing happened in the U.S. I know there was one big tour group in Texas that had also done the Nile River tours. And in all likelihood, they have this Italian strain also. And some of the other sequences are coming out. It was a little bit surprising. There were three sequences that came out of Alaska. And all three of them were the Italian strain. So the there was, you know, obviously a lot of activity involving Italy, or in some cases, you know, it could have been other countries in Spain that basically had the virus from Italy, and that ended up coming to the U.S. And so the idea that, you know, there were bans on travel from Europe, that was, you know, yet another example of closing the door after all the horses were out of the barn. So there was plenty of European, or in this case mostly Italian, sequences in the U.S. long before any ban was imposed, and they seem to have pretty well populated the East Coast, and that's why there's such a high frequency in New York, and they haven't really released sequences from New Jersey, but I'm sure that New Jersey has got the same types of frequencies because they've got such a high level of both cases and deaths.
I often wonder if we had a real leader in this country who was, in fact, we know, being briefed as of January the 3rd, if not sooner, by the intelligence community that there was a virus in China that was out of control and was in all likelihood coming here. Not only the intelligence services were telling the alleged president of this country about that in January, but the White House trade advisor, Navarro, as you know, warned Trump in January, early January, that the virus was coming and to prepare for maybe a couple million dead and trillions in economic damage. Trump did nothing but downplay the virus. He and Jared Kushner for 2 months did nothing and flattened the curve. No, the only thing Trump has flattened is the economy, and it may never recover. So let's get that on the table.
Yeah, well, I mean, he didn't even need a secret report. The first indicate, I mean, there were rumors back in December that the cases in Wuhan were due to a novel coronavirus, and then kind of tried to suppress that, and they arrested the whistleblowers and denied that it was a coronavirus. But as early as the very end of December, like December 31st, I think, there was a report out of China that said that they had just a partial sequence and that it was a novel coronavirus. And they subsequently said that they had about 4% of the genome sequence. And the virus, the SARS coronavirus has a pretty big genome. It's about twice as big, or more than twice as big as influenza. It's about 30,000 nucleotides. And if he had 4%, that means he had about 1,200 nucleotides. And 1,200 nucleotides is more than enough that if you took that sequence and just did a search at gene bank, you would get the closest relatives, and any 1,200 nucleotides you took from SARS-CoV-2 would have pulled up SARS coronavirus. I mean, it wouldn't be a coronavirus. It would have been SARS coronavirus. So they knew that this virus was most closely related to SARS back in late December or early January. And then the sequence was actually released, I think, around January 8th or so. So it's still relatively early in January. And then as soon as the sequence was released, they developed a test based upon that sequence. And they went back, if you recall, there were like 59 suspect cases based upon symptoms. And then they tested them, and 41 of them were positive for the SARS coronavirus. So it was clear that, the sequence they had was responsible for the initial cases, and that at least 41 of them were positive on a PCR test. So, the SARS had set off a lot of concern 17 years earlier, and it was clear that this was another SARS virus, and it was clear that there was some linkage to a wet market, and it was clear that there were quite a few people that were infected, and they had atypical pneumonia, and there was a reasonable chance that there was some human-to-human transmission, and it wasn't long after that. If you recall, a couple cases got exported to Thailand and Japan, And then based upon the population side of size of Wuhan, you know, some back of the envelope calculations indicated there were probably thousands of people infected by then. And that would have been a number that would have been way too high to be from just wet markets. So that was already indicating that there was human to human transmission. And that's kind of the scenario. I mean, you've got a novel coronavirus. It's transmitted to human, and there's some pretty large clusters, and there's so many people infected that they were exporting it already. And and so mid-January, it was pretty clear that there was concerns. And in fact, the CDC, you know, a little bit after that, was saying that they were concerned about the PPE pipeline. That was one of the things they gave in their briefings. They went and they said, you know, they're really not sure how robust this pipeline is, because China was using it, you know, had a lot of virus, and it wasn't just in Wuhan. For you know, it quickly spread to their big cities, and they got a lot of people in China. And
they locked down 700 million people. Yeah,
and so it was pretty clear that there were going to be some issues if this virus continued to spread. And it was almost certain it was going to get out of China, because the country is much more mobile now than it was 17 years ago, and it got out 17 years ago. And the numbers were clearly much higher than they were in 2002, 2003. And so none of it was a surprise. Trump claimed to be surprised, and you know, who would have thought? But that's been part of the U.S. pandemic preparedness for years. I mean, it started more with bird flu, with H5N1, and there was concern that it would, you know, become more transmissible human to human and have a very high fatality rate. And you know, there were all types of scenarios planned out on how bad it could be. And the worst case was certainly on a par with 1918. And then this virus quickly moved to that level when Trump was saying it was a hoax. And then he was saying, well, you know, there's a lot of people die from flu, and this is just kind of another flu. And, you know, it's really a cold virus. And, people, you know, get colds all the time, and it's really not that serious, and it isn't that fatal.
I wonder how many people died because of that.
Well, you know, we're number one.
Here we are.
And we've got, you know, how many? Almost
387,000 cases now.
Right, right. And so, you know, I was just looking at New York itself. So, yeah, we're over, 12,000 deaths. And as I read off, all of these states hit record levels today. And those numbers are just going to go up, even if there weren't any new cases, because there's so many that are already in the hospital. And going on ventilators. And so it's a serious situation. And
how was the
thing that's remarkable is it didn't start here. I mean, we're not that close to China. And for us to become number one in the world for a virus that started in Wuhan is hard to do. You know, you can look at the map.
Well, it's a tribute to air travel. Viruses love air travel.
Yeah, I know, but there's a lot of countries in Asia that They're a lot closer to China than we are. And, India's got a lot of people. And, Southeast Asia has a fair number, and so does Japan, and so does Russia. And, you know, all of these share borders with China. And so they don't even need to get on an airplane to go. I mean, in Hong Kong, they were coming by train. You know, so, all of these other countries are much closer to China. And, you know, if you recall with SARS, most of the activity wasn't even in the United States and North America. It was in Toronto. There were a few cases.
Canada.
But none of the cases in the U.S. even led to isolation of a single virus. The CDC came up with no virus. I mean, the only virus they got was the Ebola strain, which is from Vietnam, because they killed the WHO researcher there and investigator there. So there were zero cases that led to a viral isolate in the U.S., and there was only one in Canada. It was called TOR for Toronto. And so in all of North America, there was only one isolate. And, you know, in this outbreak, there are literally thousands of sequences that are available with a lot more to come. So it's not that easy to get the number one position from.
Our leadership made that possible.
This large of a distance.
And, yes. Thorough inactivity in January and February made it possible. Took us right to the top.
Right. And the lack of a test that was
what
working
tests?
Didn't hurt. Yeah.
And he inherited that. Remember?
Flying.
He said the bad test. He inherited the bad test.
He couldn't really inherit it because nobody had a sequence before the outbreak. So, I mean,
no, the tests were made this year.
The test that was created. But you know, I think that, you know, the CDC didn't really rise to the occasion. I'm not sure what that was about. But, you know, like I mentioned, they started out with sequencing the new isolates in the U.S. within a day or two. The first five infections in the U.S. sequences came out within 2 days of confirmation. As soon as they were lab confirmed, you could look at GeneBank or GSAD and get the sequences within a couple of days. And then CDC just kind of stopped doing sequences. Most of the sequences that were coming up were different academic labs. And they just released a series like yesterday, but it was probably in the neighborhood of maybe 20 sequences, maybe 25. And like I said, New York, there was only one. New Jersey, there weren't any. It was very limited. I mean, they would routinely release sequences from the flu, and they would, you know, release quite a few more than 20, 25, and they would do it every couple of weeks or so. So I don't know. There haven't been that many sequences. The lab test really kind of got screwed up badly, and you know, now the testing's catching up, but it's still way, way behind. And the idea is that the virus really isn't under control, and it's unlikely to just disappear like SARS did. There's way too much of it. That, you know, the plan was to have some tests, you know, like a DNA test to see whether you've got antibodies or not, and identify who's got immunity and therefore, you know, would be a better candidate for getting back to work or getting back to school or getting back to whatever. But it's not really clear how many people in the U.S. have been infected in part because the asymptomatic ones, you can't get tested. I can't test the asymptomatic cases. They're not testing the mild cases. And so the level and the uniformity of that is pretty much unknown. We're still flying blind here.
Yeah, important side note to that. The 50% or thereabout of people who are infected who are asymptomatic, who show no symptoms, by the time they begin to show symptoms, I read yesterday, it was a doctor talking, already show substantial pulmonary damage by that time when they begin to manifest clear, symptoms, we'll call it. Just stay with symptoms. They already have lung damage to a degree. Is it correctable? I don't know. But I did read this. So you're symptomatic or you're not. Half that aren't already have lung damage by the time they begin to manifest symptoms. I thought that was pretty alarming. This heart damage thing we've known about, but to see it begin to be talked about as being common is another issue. And the story I ran on that was particularly alarming. Then we've got the clotting. Then we've got the neurological damage. We've got a lot of things. This is a very diverse basket of very dark potentials with this virus.
Right. And because of that, and because of a lot of these conditions are exacerbated by underlying conditions, that's part of the reason why coming up with an antiviral or therapeutic is not a simple thing. It's not something that I think this is a good one. What do you got to lose? There are a lot of issues, and chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine have kind of come under fire recently by multiple publications and critiques of the data that's already out there, which is very limited. And so the studies are small, and some show no effect, some show some promise, and some indicate that there are some serious considerations. One actually has to do with heart fibrillation. So the concern and treatment has been stopped on multiple patients now because their EKGs start to look abnormal when they're given the drug and they've got the virus. And so they've stopped treatment. Some countries aren't using it at all anymore.
Are you talking about the hydroxy and the chloroquine?
Yep. Huh. I mean, it's available and it's in use. The the results, aren't really large trials with controls haven't been done. The initial trial in France that was done, there's a little bit more detail that have come out on that, and actually the journal that published it is now talking about has serious reservation about the study. And part of it has to do with how controlled it was. What they did is they were looking for its ability to reduce RNA levels in the patient. And they kind of had two groups, but usually on the double-blind studies, they're kind of the two groups that those that get the drug and those that don't are designed so they're very similar. They've got the same characteristics and, it's kind of randomized and they're, those who get the drug and those who don't, it's double blind. So the patient doesn't know and the physician doesn't know who got the placebo and who got the drug. And in this case, it was kind of like they used two different groups. The one group that got the placebo were younger, and I think they might have had somewhat milder disease. And then the ones that actually got the drug were a little bit sicker, so it really wasn't, comparing two equal groups. The two groups weren't that equal. And then what happened was, since they wanted to measure the RNA, the group that got the drug, one died, and I think three went into the ICU, and they basically dropped them because they couldn't get the RNA level, because either they were dead or they were too sick. And so, you know, they didn't use them at all. And so they kind of took a group that was a little bit sicker, so they probably had a little bit more RNA. And if you have a little bit more RNA and it comes down, then it's got a bigger drop. And some, you know, would come down anyway, and some would come down, you know, because they got the drug. And so, if the control group was a group that wasn't as sick, that the drop wouldn't be as dramatic because they might not have as much of the RNA to begin with. So there was concern about the design of the experiment, and that's one of the reasons the organization that basically publishes the journal has put out, I think they've actually even got a warning on it now, but they have expressed concerns after publication, not prior to publication. And then there's some other publications that are out. I mean, one group, I think, only had about 11 patients. They said they didn't really see any difference. And then there was an animal study that was done, and that was it was in mice, but it was to see if the drug would cause any problems with other drugs. And they actually used metformin. Metformin is a fairly common treatment for diabetes, and when they combined metformin with chloroquine or hydrochloroquine in mice, 30% of the mice died. So it was not a good combination of mice. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be that bad in humans, but that's not that uncommon to do animal experiments first to see if there's adverse effects, so that they, you know, whether there's any red flags there. If the animals do fine, oh, then that's a good start. If the animals start dying, that's not a good indication.
Not
and easy. So there are those studies out there. And so, you know, it is being used. A lot of them are using it in combination, so that, you know, some of the sicker patients, they will try a bunch of different drugs if they're not responding. And they'll try one and they'll try another, and you know, on the patients that seem to improve, a lot of times they're not really sure which one really worked. They just know that, you know, they tried three different drugs and they got a response. And and then similarly, you know, if you're going to do a study, because some people are talking about, you know, getting prescriptions from the doctor and just take it as a prophylactic.
Right. Yeah.
The problem with that is that, you know, most people that, you know, get the virus, recover. They don't end up going to the hospital. They just have either a bad cold or a flu. And, they might be tired and they might have a little bit of a fever, and they frequently will have a cough. But, you know, to show the effects of the drug to kind of prevent any of that, considering that, you know, a high percentage of the population don't get infected to begin with, you'd need a very, very large controlled study, as a prophylactic, because the vast majority of patients don't have that adverse of an effect. I mean, the number that die, you know, it's somewhat age related, but the general population is several percent. And so, you know, 90 some odd percent of the patients really don't get that sick. And so to show that, you know, 99% is better than 96% or something is takes a lot of patience to mm-hmm. to make that statistically significant. Right. And so prophylactically it's somewhat problematic because most patients don't get that sick. And then on the sick patients, there's a lot of variation out there, and there's information's coming out that, you know, people with these underlying conditions, which include high blood pressure or heart disease, don't do nearly that well. And, you know, there's some indication that chloroquine or hydrochloroquine can have adverse effects on the heart. And you mentioned, you know, the heart seems to be one of the targets of the virus. And so, you know, you get the virus attacking the heart, and then you get relations thrown on top of that. And that's why I say that, you know, they've tried it on some patients and stopped the treatment because of that. So it's not as simple as what do you got to lose. Some people have their life to lose if they get a bad
that's
combination.
That's our president's view of it.
And that's why, you know, it's not approved yet. I mean, it's off-label use, but controlled studies would be useful to know who's going to benefit from it and what the dosage is.
It would be seemingly very wise, yes. Henry, thank you. We'll keep watching and be back tomorrow night. Get some rest. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
All right. He works hard. All right, we all do. We will be back in 21 hours tomorrow night, Wednesday already. Take good care. Don't underestimate this. It's a nasty virus. All right. Talk soon.